Welcome in, Longhorns fans, to another season of live George Ranch High School Baseball on GRHS iRadio. Coach Greg Kubza has put together another highly competitive team that has one mission in mind. That's making the 172-mile trip to Del Diamond in Round Rock and bringing the first 6A State Baseball Championship back to the ranch. George Ranch High School Baseball is brought to you live by the Finnegan Auto Group, Harrell & Johnson Dentistry, Camp Logan Cement Works, the Fort Bend Herald, Stuart Rimes DDS, Fort Bend Gridiron Football, and Gilman Honda Fort Bend. Now, let's go out to the diamond and join Chris Elliott, former Longhorns pitcher Christian Moore, and the GRHS iRadio broadcast team.
And thank you, Mickey, Chris Elliott, Christian Moore, back with you from the ranch. District play rolls on as the Bucks from Brazoswood come across town. Coach Mike Kresman leads the Buccaneers with an 8-11 overall record, 3-4 in district play. And they will try to get on track against a Longhorn team that was undefeated in district up until a week ago tonight, Christian. And they lose two tough ball games in extra innings. Both games they leave 11 men on base. Again, in extra inning contest, you have to know that Coach Kubza is going to circle that here tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And coming off two straight, I think, nine-inning game losses and both one-run games. So tonight's no joke. It's another good opponent in Brazoswood. And last time they faced them, I think it was a 3-2 game. So you know that you're going to get a really good team tonight. And so a very important game, and as is every game in district the rest of the year.
3-2 district opening victory for the Horns. That was a good one to get in the win column. The Horns are sitting at third in district. Brazoswood, conversely, sitting in fifth, just on the outside looking in behind the Dawson Eagles. So you know, as we wind down district play, every game for them is a huge game.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it's very important tonight to come out and just give it all you got. You know, you can't think about that loss that happened the last two night or the last two games for them. And tonight's a new night, and expect good things from the Longhorns.
And I know you, Christian, had a chance to speak to Coach Kubza. We will play that for you in our next segment. He will give the ball, will Coach Kubza, to Easton Malin, who's perfect on the season, 2-0 win-loss record. And he has a 5.6 ERA. You know he'd like to get that down. In 15 innings pitched, he's struck out 12 and has allowed in the hit column just 10 hits. So he's doing well. He wants to get that ERA down. And what are you going to be keyed on as an analyst tonight in terms of Easton being successful?
Yeah, last time out for Easton, he was in strike. And he first inning kind of struggled a little bit and got down three runs in the first inning, but kind of settled in after that. So tonight I'm really just looking to see if he can get ahead of batters, because then once you get ahead of batters, then you can throw some off-speed pitches and pitches that you want to throw in counts. Rather, if you're down in a 2-0 count or a 3-0 count, then you kind of have to throw pitches down the middle. If you get ahead of the count, then you can settle in a little bit more. So looking for that in early success in early innings.
We saw a pitcher's duel, or we heard a pitcher's duel, and the first two times these two faced off, and so perhaps we have the same thing tonight. It'll be Cade Johnson on the hill for Coach Kresman. And so we will go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll hear from Coach Kubza, and we'll set the lineups as we inch closer to opening pitch here from the ranch. District play, 23-6A action right here on GRHS iRadio.
Is a proud sponsor of George Ranch High School Longhorn Nation. At Finnegan Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, find cool Dodge Challengers, Chargers, and Chrysler 300s. Want to get down and dirty? What about a Jeep Wrangler or Ram truck? Wow! And Finnegan Chevrolet Buick GMC will knock you out with Camaros, Corvettes, and the new Chevy SS. Bam! Check out the all-new Chevy Silverado and GMC Sierra trucks, Tahoe, Suburbans, Yukons, and Denalis. Let's go all the way with George Ranch Longhorns. FinneganAuto.com.
Since 1981, large and small companies have relied on Hunt & Companies to deliver innovative systems, professional OEM service, comprehensive solution, and Trane's high-quality products. It's hard to stop a Trane, and it's even harder to stop the Hunt & Group. Call the Hunt & Group at 713-266-3900 or reach out for information via email at info@huntandgroup.com. It's the Hunting Group, one of George Ranch High School's Athletic Booster Club Platinum Level Business Sponsors.
Hello, fans. I'm Brett Dolan from Root Sports and ESPN3, and I listen to GRHS iRadio.
Here, Longhorn Nation with Coach Kubza. Coach, coming off two tough losses in back-to-back games, how important is tonight? And tell me a little bit about Brazoswood.
Well, tonight I feel like I expressed, you know, with the boys after the Pearland loss that I feel like now these are all must games. These are all must win games. I think our backs are against the wall. We don't want to come down to the last week of district and then everybody be in a big pile at the bottom and be the one that gets left out. So big stress Wednesday and Thursday on, you know, better execution with runners on base and doing the little things right. Brazoswood, always a good game between the two of us. No matter, you know, where they're sitting or where we're sitting, it's always a competitive game. So it'll be another tough one tonight.
Surratt came off a good performance after Allen was scratched late, and Arredondo came in and had a pretty good performance. Tell me about how important it is for guys like that to come out and pitch well.
Well, Surratt did a fantastic job. He wasn't even prepared to even start. Had a late scratch with Preston. And so, you know, him coming in and doing what he did for that amount of time, that was, you know, a fantastic job of him. And Garrett coming in and doing what he did too, you know. He's slowly working back into it and stretched him a little bit that night as far as pitch count was concerned. So I think it was some, you know, good things that came out of a loss. And we got some guys that needed some work, you know, especially Garrett because he hadn't been up on the mound, you know, until, you know, couple weeks ago. So looking to bounce back from that tonight.
Talk to me about a little bit about Malin.
Easton, you know, he's coming off a tough one against Strake. Hopefully he bounces back tonight. You know, he's always in the zone. He's going to throw a lot of strikes. A great competitor, so I expect good things.
Thank you.
All right.
Hey, Longhorns, the time is now to order your George Ranch High School yearbooks. Relive every side-splitting, buzzer-beating, and tear-jerking moment for the rest of your lives. Don't y'all all be left in the pasture while all your friends are getting their yearbook signed by all of Longhorn Nation. Yeah! Order your yearbooks today. It's your legacy.
The Fort Bend Gridiron Football League is beginning its seventh year as a competitive youth football league that stresses a positive, safe, and fun environment for players, parents, and coaches. Fort Bend Gridiron Football is partnered with USA Football, a youth football development arm of the NFL and NFLPA, and features six competitive zones based on the same school boundaries as Austin, Clements, Foster, George Ranch, Lamar Consolidated, and Ridgepoint High Schools. There is freshman football for 7- and 8-year-olds, JV for 9- and 10-year-olds, and varsity play for 11- and 12-year-olds who are not yet in the 7th grade. For more information, go to the league's website at fortbendgridironfootball.com.
And welcome back in, Chris Elliott alongside Christian Moore as we are inching closer to first pitch at the top of the hour. Tom Tirando, press box extraordinaire, doing the opening roster and lineup announcements. We'll tell you about Coach Kresman's lineup. He's got Hagen Bundick, center fielder, batting first, batting second, Taylor Say. We're going to start with Say. Right fielder, bats second. Mason Say, catcher, bats third. Graydon Hill, designated hitter in the cleanup spot. Second baseman Nick Zuniga will bat fifth and play second. Left fielder Brandon Jocko in the sixth hole. Shortstop Damian Leal is in the seven hole. Josh Lesna bats eighth, plays third. And first baseman Sam Massey will bat ninth. And round out Coach Kresman's lineup. It will be Easton Malin on the hill tonight. As tonight is about bounce back. Two tough district extra inning losses as a team. And Easton had a tough loss, if you will, or probably no decision against Strake. And he pitched well.
Yeah, he did. And two straight tough losses in both games that the Longhorns probably could have came out with a win on top. And they know they beat themselves, and so tonight's not another tough opponent in Brazoswood. And we said earlier, 3-2 game in Brazoswood last time. So we're going to expect another good game here tonight. So you can't come out flat and have to come out aggressive.
Well, the Horns are going to rematch both Strake and Pearland. Strake here, Pearland there. So they'll have an opportunity to pull even in district play, at least head-to-head. And so really those losses will manifest themselves in maybe playing a tougher seed in 24-6A.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about seeding in district right now. You just want to get top four, but you also want to kind of go out on top of these games, to, like you just mentioned, face a better seed in the first round of playoffs. But we can't think ahead of playoffs right now and have to focus on Brazoswood here tonight.
Absolutely. We also heard Coach Cubs say in your pregame interview that every game right now is a must-win.
Right. I mean, like we were saying, and two losses, and before that we were riding hot with being undefeated. And so you just want to come out here at the top and get your offense back going again, because the pitching's been there, and it's even in the two losses they had, they came out and performed well. I think it was like 5 runs and 4 runs or something like that. And so the pitching's been there, so you kind of want the offense to back it up a little bit here tonight.
And you hear it's cliche nowadays, complementary football is where you hear the term. Complementary baseball in any sport is going to, team sport, is going to, that's going to be appropriate as well. But early in the season, especially early in district play, there was complementary. The bats would pick up the pitchers when they needed to and vice versa. And it was just these last two games where the timely hits didn't come. When I say timely, you strand 11 men in both games and score 3 runs, I believe, also in both games.
Maybe 4 in the Strake game.
So, average 3.5 runs
right,
a game,
but still, I mean,
11.
Like you mentioned, and we were coming off a bunch of, I know it was A-Leaf schools, but, I mean, you were riding hot with 10 hits, and even in that straight game, there was 11 hits in that one. So, we're not seeing as much from the top of the order anymore, and that's what I'm looking for on the offensive side of things, is getting the offense moving hot early.
Bounce back night. We'll step aside and play the national anthem.
Ball.
And that, of course, is our Star Spangled Banner, which means we are set for baseball. As we looked again, this is Bounce Back Friday, as we look to bounce back as a unit and let Easton get a good outing under his belt.
Absolutely. Another beautiful night here at George Ranch High School, and another Friday night game against a good opponent. So looking for a good, fun, clean game from the Longhorn side of things, and kind of want to see just a, like you said, a bounce back game, and don't let these guys hang their heads too low here tonight and come out. And the most important part of this game, I think, in my opinion, is the first 3 innings. It's settling a rhythm on for Malin early in counts and get things going. And then if you do that pitching wise, then it sets your offense up and they want to get hot and they'll swing the bats for you.
There's definitely momentum in baseball. There's no question. Game time temp 78 degrees. 8-mile-an-hour east-southeast wind, which really means it's blowing from the center field straight over to that left field corner. It is 400 to straightaway center here at Longhorn Field, 325 symmetric ball yard down each baseline. The Bucks come across. They've got their light blue tops with blue and white numerals and logo and white pants. The Horns, thank heavens we can see the Horns numbers tonight.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to battle with those black jerseys like we have in the past couple of home games.
Maroon base tops with the black sleeves, white numerals, and the white pinstripe pants. And striding to home plate is Hagen Bundick, and we are about set for first pitch. District 23-6A action rolls on right here on GRHSI Radio from high atop the Tom Tarando press box.
Leading off for the Brazoswood Buccaneers, number 9, center fielder Hagen Bundick.
And that is Mr. Tarando telling us that center fielder Hagen Bundick is stepping in, the right-hander. Straightaway stance is in there, and Easton to the wine. First pitch outside half, strike one.
Yeah, good first pitch. You want to settle in a little bit, so this first batter is really key here.
Bundick back in there. Malin gets the sign to the wine. This time it's upstairs. Purpose pitch maybe as you start maybe slow down some pace and break it off. As the first two fastballs look lively from Easton. And the 1-1 breaking ball does not catch the inside corner. So I've already been right tonight. He set up that breaking ball.
Yeah.
You didn't get the call.
Right, exactly. And we're seeing early in count, so you know he's comfortable with throwing that pitch.
Malin, the 2-1, is in there. Tap, swinging bunt down the third base line. Aragu's going to barehand it and not in time. Good effort. As it was a little bit of you got it, I take it, as Easton wanted to pounce on it, but it was a much easier play in front of him for Aragu's, and the speedy Bundick is on with an infield hit.
Yeah, a little dribbler to the right side, and much easier play for Aragu's to come up and get that barehanded play and throw it to first rather than Malin going and get it and throwing it across his body. So all-around good play. It's just unfortunate where it was hit.
So Malin to the stretch, one batter deep. And it'll be Taylor Say, the right fielder. Quick throw over as Bundick was more than leaning. And fortunate for him that he didn't stray too far off the bag or else he'd have been picked off.
Yeah, they have something set up here, probably a bunt. Maybe we'll see a steal, but Aragu's has played in the grass here, ready for a bunt.
Say, righties, first pitch swinging right out in front of the plate off his instep. 0-1 on the right fielder, Taylor Say. Must win time of year as we get into here in the first, second week of April. Not a whole lot of length on that district schedule. Throw over. Again, keeping Bundick close. You know, one thing I've observed, Christian, is pretty much all the Horns pitchers, they have a good pickoff move.
Yeah, they have a good pickoff move. It's really quick, and they like throwing over a ton.
And they're accurate on the throws. I mean, you know, if I'm a coach, and about the second time one goes down the line, I'm gonna back off a little bit on the throwovers.
Yeah, you're right. We have been noticing it, and they're not taking any chances. A lot of times we'll see a guy runner gets on early in the inning, and he'll a couple pickoff moves over there.
Again, Bundick leaning the wrong way, but he was not even a full step off the bag. Count holding at a ball and a strike. Nobody out. Slow breaking ball is in there as Taylor Say reached out like he wanted to maybe get a piece of it, thought better of it, as he wasn't going to hit it hard.
Yeah, I mean, he looked like he was set up for that fastball, and he was not expecting a curveball, so now Malin has him where he wants him because he wasn't expecting a curveball there in that pitch.
1-2 count. Bundick leaning again and save. As the base umpire will, once a runner gets on, he'll park himself right behind the pitcher, a little bit offset to the right of second base in that infield grass. He's got a good vantage point on the pickoff play. The 1-2, and it misses just out of the webbing of Shane Moore's glove. And not too far as Shane pounces on it, and Bundick stays put over at first.
Yeah, the way it was set up, it looked like he was set up inside and kind of a hot fastball went on the outside corner and took him a little bit too far. But luckily, they got a glove on it, and so the ball didn't go all the way to the backstop.
2-2 again. Bundick is just stepping off, and as soon as he does, that time he took a second step, then Easton's going to rip a throw over.
Yeah, and you're right, and especially because once you see him leaning, you want to make sure.
And there he goes. He had a big lead in there for a strikeout, and throw is late at second, so they get the out at home. Not sure if they gave, say, a take sign because that pitch was down Broadway, And he will go down looking without number one. Advancing on the stolen base is Bundick out to second.
At the plate for Brazoswood, number
four. Yeah, a good job of bouncing back from Allen after giving him a little dribbler. Came back and had a good at-bat against that guy and got the strikeout and runner advance, but looked good in that strikeout. And misses weren't that bad.
That'll bring in catcher Mason Say. We've seen all righties from Coach Kresman's bunch. And from the stretch, off-speed breaking pitch misses away from the righty. Set the horns defense. I beg your pardon, we haven't done that. It is Shane Moore behind the dish in the infield. It's Araguse at third, Jaden Adams at short, Trent Fuquay at second, Nate Hamburg over at first. The 1-0, I beg your pardon, is away 2-0 now on Mason Say. Around the outfield, Nick Martinez in left, familiar Jacob Wilson in center, and Brandon Kostelnik back in the lineup is in right.
Yeah, a bunch of speed out there in the outfield, so you know as a pitcher that a lot of balls, if you get in the air, probably will be caught.
Malin takes a peek at second. The 2-0 misses well off the plate and up. Looks like he might be overthrowing that pitch a little bit. There is a base open, so especially now that it's 3-0, you're probably not going to groove one.
Right, and I've noticed this in, even in the major leagues, and for some reason, umpires like to set up on that inside corner like a lot. And that ball didn't look like it missed much outside, so kind of tough on Malin there.
3-0 is in there, so much for pitching around the catcher, Mason Say.
Easy for you to say.
Easy for me to say. 3-1 now the count on Mason. He digs back in there, crowds the plate, the righty, and that misses away again. That's another thing. When you got a hitter that's crowding the plate, that plate looks a lot smaller.
Yeah, it looks a lot smaller, but that wasn't – you never want to walk a guy, but if you do, I mean, it's not the worst walk in the world for a three-hole hitter with the base open. So
true. That'll bring in designated hitter Graydon Hill. Cleanup man will be the first lefty that Easton will face. They did set up a force at all three infield bags. And we do have a courtesy runner over at first. We'll try and get you his identity. I'll leave that up to Seymour. Hill, designated hitter, big lefty, digs in. First pitch swing and fouls it up out of play over top of the Horns dugout. 0-1. Count. Graydon Hill's back in there. Malin being very deliberate on the hill. Michael Riley, the courtesy runner at first for Say, or Mason Say. Good slow breaking ball. Misses upstairs.
Running at first base for the Buccaneers, number 10, Michael Riley.
Yeah, but Malin, after that walk, he's going right at Hill here with throwing in first lefty he's faced here. And the first pitch we saw him, it kind of jammed him on an inside fastball.
Double play depth up the middle, even with the bag at third is Araguse, and the 1-1, a good hack for Hill. He's late still on the Malin gas, and he fouls it up out of play to our left.
Yeah, it should be interesting to see here because the two foul balls Hill has hit both been, you said, late on the fastball, so I don't know if he wants to go with the curveball here or stick with the fastball.
Boy, looking for a ground ball up the middle if he had his druthers. As Jaden is all up on the bag and foul right back in the screen. It looked like Shaner lost it.
Yeah, I was looking to see if it went in the air because we saw last game he had, what,
he was
four?
Busy.
Four in the first,
in
like,
the first
three
two innings.
Yeah, some around there. So he was busy and looking for more this game.
He leads the district in catcher foul ball outs. 1-2 now the count on Hill. 1-2 on the way is again upstairs, and that is going to probably be a problem if he can't get that call. That's a good pitch. I can promise you he's hitting his spot.
Right, and maybe just a little bit up from where we are. We kind of can't tell as that great, but that's a tough call if you don't get that all night for sure.
Yep. And you never know, a little bit of adrenaline here in inning number one, especially those off-speed pitches. They tend to have more bite in later innings, and that one, it was a good one. As that one was definitely low enough to hit the zone, and Hill does a good job to spoil a good hook from Easton and fouls it right back to the screen.
Yeah, and just got enough of it to foul it off to stay alive in this at-bat. And It's probably pitch number 6 or 7 already in this at-bat.
Count sits at 2-2. We're getting pictures. We got paparazzi out here at the ball yard. Malin, the 2-2, foul ball, hit towards Araguse's left, goes to Fuquay at second, over to first, double play, 5-4-3, just what the doctor ordered, side retired. The Bucks strand a man, we played a half inning, we're scoreless. From George Rance, the horns coming in to hit.
The art and science of prosthodontics, of restoring and rehabilitating mouths to full function and effectiveness, begins with the treatment of people. That's why the staff at Dr. Stuart Rimes' office treat people first. At Stuart Rimes' office, the focus is on adult care, from single crowns to dentures to full mouth rehabilitations. Be sure to visit the Smile Gallery on Dr. Rimes' website to view before and after pictures of the good work done by Dr. Rimes and his staff. That's the office of Dr. Stuart Rimes, DDS, MS, in Sugarland Town Square. For an appointment, call 281-313-1565 or visit him on the web at rimesdds.com.
And welcome back in. We move to top, bottom, rather, of inning number one. It'll be Wilson, Jaden Adams, and Malin, 1-2-3. They'll be followed by cleanup hitter, designated hitter, Gage Graham. Araguse plays third, bats fifth. Nick Martinez, still one of the league leader or club leaders in average. He bats sixth, plays left. Kostelnik in right, bats seventh. Hamburg at first base in the eight hole, and Trent Fuquay bats ninth and plays second. And the right-hander, Kay Johnson, misses outside with the first pitch fastball. And he's quickly to the line, and that time catching the outside corner. Ball on a strike to Jacob Wilson, who'd like to do what his counterpart on the Bucks did and just reach base and get something going for his offense. And pitcher's best friend in that top of the first inning, ending double play.
Yeah, and he kind of struggled with the second batter in that inning, gave up with that walk, but ended up being not the worst walk like we were saying, and base was open and set up a forced play, and a double play got out of the inning.
Good breaking ball from Johnson as Jacob tried to bunt his way on and came up empty there. Count now 1-2 as Jacob digs in, open stance, waves the bat. The 1-2 is good job by Jacob to get down and in on that pitch and foul it off to live to fight another pitch.
Yeah, that's what you're going to see at your leadoff is you just want to see him work the pitcher a little bit and see what the pitcher has to offer here tonight.
And the one-two misses. Good eye there from Jacob. And this will be the sixth pitch of the opening AB of the Horns first. And that's going to be a bloop, seeing eye, single, and he's going to think about second, as that's just a professional job of hitting with two strikes as he serves it right down that first baseline
for
a leadoff single.
Yeah, and sometimes even after coming off two losses, then stuff hasn't been going his way for Wilson. Something like that might break you out of the little slump that you're in, and it looks good on the books like we've mentioned yet last Tuesday. And But that's all that matters is you got on base early, and that's what you want as your leadoff guy, to get on base. And now it sets up maybe a steal or a situational bunt. So it should be interesting to see how Coach Cubs wants to play this one out here tonight.
Yeah, Jacob leads the team with 11 stolen bases. He's got a good lead over there at first. He's got the wrist hand guard on his left hand. As Cade Johnson misses upstairs to Jaden Adams. Jaden is the shortstop tonight. He's kind of bounced around between second and short here towards the heart of district play. And now we see Kay Johnson pitching from the stretch. Both pitchers, one batter deep, are in the stretch. So we'll see what they each have. Easton managed, and we'll see what Cade can do.
Yeah, and even the games where George Ranch was district was winning, is it was because the guys were getting on early in the inning. So it's something we haven't really seen the last two games.
1-0. Jaden's going to pop it up in the infield out in foul ground. Alesma's going to get there and squeeze it easily. That's Josh Alesna over at third. And we'll set the defense for the Buccaneers. It is Alesna at third in the infield. Damian Leal at short. Nick Zuniga at second. Sam Massey at first. Mason Say is Kay Johnson's battery mate. And in the outfield, left to right, Brandon Jocko in left. Hayden Bundick in center. And Taylor Say is in right. And with one down and Wilson at first, that'll bring in Easton Malin as a hitter. He's done quite well this season, and he swings at a really nice slider from Kay Johnson for strike one. Malin comes in batting .462 for the season, and he's got 18 hits, which is second on the team. And he's also driven in 11, which is second on the team. The 0-1. On the way, nothing doing with Jacob. Line drive, double play. First baseman Sam Massey stuck his big mitt out there. Jacob barely even had a chance to move one way or the other. And the hit ball pulled Massey right to the bag. So both first innings end in double plays. We've played one, a quick first inning right here from George Ranch. We roll on GRHS iRadio.
If you're into sports, especially high school sports, then the Fort Bend Herald is for you. The Fort Bend Herald, Fort Bend's oldest newspaper since 1892, covers area high school sports like no other paper around. And for as little as $9 a month, you can have it delivered right to your door 6 days a week. And with every subscription, you have immediate access to the paper's online edition at no extra cost. So if you're into high school sports, the Fort Bend Herald's sports pages are for you. To subscribe, go to fbherald.com, pay online to activate your subscription. You can also begin receiving the Fort Bend Herald by calling 281-342-4474. That's the Fort Bend Herald, Fort Bend's oldest newspaper since 1892.
Harrell & Johnson Dentistry provides a comprehensive dental resource for you and your family. One thing that has separated Harrell & Johnson Dentistry from the others is their emphasis on educating patients about their treatment options and their oral health issues. Harrell & Johnson Dentistry proudly provides quality dental care with services including cosmetic dentistry, general dentistry, teeth whitening, dental...
And welcome back in, top of two. As we are scoreless, first pitch swinging is Nick Zuniga, and he comes up empty. So Johnson ends up facing the minimum in the first as Easton's 1-0-1 misses away. Ball and a strike on second baseman, five-hitter Nick Zuniga. And the 1-1 misses. Seeing it a bit of a tight zone here early. Perhaps when the sun goes down, then the strike zone will get a little bit bigger.
Yeah, we saw that in the last game. Is kind of towards late in that game, the 2-1. Strike zone opened up.
The 2-1 breaking ball didn't break, and it hit the elbow guard for Nick Zuniga, and he'll take a stroll on a hit-by-pitch to lead off the second inning.
And that's never how you want to start off an inning, and it's one thing to give up a hit or something, but to hit the guy, it kind of mentally affects you a little bit because you know you're not locating the pitches where you want to throw them.
So it is that breaking ball that's been his undoing, if you will. I mean, granted, he hasn't given up a run yet, but as soon as he's able to kind of calibrate the hook, and Easton will probably settle in. It is Zuniga running for himself. Not much of a lead over there. It'll be the second lefty that Easton will face. It's left fielder Brandon Jocko in the six hole. And the first pitch to Jocko is right through the heart and fouled right back to the screen. Not really a hard hit ball for either team thus far. Both teams have a hit. Runner going and fouled away as Zuniga had looked to be a good jump there.
Yeah, and I wasn't there for the Brazoswood game in Brazoswood, but just my first thoughts is they get a guy on first base and they like to run. So Shane behind the dish has to be ready for a runner, especially when early in innings with no outs and guy gets on first base.
Foul ball, strike two, 0-2. On Jocko, throw over, pushes Zuniga back. Folks, I know we've mentioned it before, but Boots and Bling is tomorrow night. I don't think it's too late to get tickets. If not, you can get them there at the door at the Fort Bend County Fairgrounds. Spasmatics will be there. Your ticket includes dinner, adult beverages, and the show from the Spasmatics. There's a live auction. We'll tell you about some of those items throughout the broadcast tonight. Another foul ball from Jocko. Count holding at 0-2. Tickets are available online till midnight tonight. That's GRHSABC.com. Thank you to Tom Tarando for the live updates on ticket sales. We also thank Amy Pearson for running the whole thing, or pretty much the whole thing, as she's dropped off some material for me to read for you folks. 1-2. Tap back to Malin. Throw to second. It's Adams over to first. No problem. Back-to-back innings with double plays. And, you know, the pitcher's best friend is always strike one. Their second best friend is a double play ball.
Yeah, absolutely. Even especially after hitting a guy and getting him on first base, it's, you knew that force play was still there. And so ball hit back to him, and he was doing his best job of fielding his own position and threw a good enough ball to shortstop. And Adams over there, a good transition, threw it to first base, and now lead off the inning with a hit guy, and now you look up, and there's two outs.
First pitch swinging is Leal. Short, or a slow roller to first. No problem. Hamburg pitches to Malin. And quickly go the Bucks in the top of two. 1-2-3. We've played an inning and a half from the Rants. We are scoreless.
Harrell & Johnson Dentistry provides a comprehensive dental resource for you and your family. One thing that has separated Harrell & Johnson Dentistry from the others is their emphasis on educating patients about their treatment options and their oral health issues. Harrell & Johnson Dentistry proudly provides quality dental care with services including cosmetic dentistry, general dentistry, teeth whitening, dental implants, extractions, and much more. Call Harrell & Johnson Dentistry at 281-937-1671 or stop by their office at 1233 Crab River Road in Richmond or find them on the web at harrelldentistry.com.
You're listening live to George Ranch High School Sports on GRHS iRadio. We win at the ranch.
And back with you from George Ranch High School, Longhorn Field. We move to the bottom of inning number two, and it is designated hitter Gage Graham. Hits a three-hopper to third. No problem for Lesna. Low throw and scooped out by Sam Massey. He's shown his mitt already, four outs into the ballgame.
Yeah, we saw that last game. I can't remember off the top of my head who the first baseman was for the Oilers, but a lot of early action over there. Vacker, that's Vacker, what it was. Yeah. He had a lot of early action over there at first base. So we see it here early again from Massey. And it's last inning, it was that double play hit right back to him. And then this inning, he dug a ball out of the ground. So he's been active, and he looks like he has the mitt. He brought the mitt here tonight.
That'll bring in Aragoos. Third baseman bats fifth. He'll stand in there with nobody on and one away. And good first pitch slider on the inner half from Kay Johnson.
Yeah, and Johnson's just wasting no time. He's going to work and throwing early strikes and early counts.
And missing away with the 0-1, ball and a strike on Anthony. Anthony was in the middle of that seventh inning rally when the horns end up coming up short. Had a tie game with nobody out in second and third. And Houdini, I forget the kid's name, Adams, Matt Adams, a.k.a. Matt Houdini, wriggled off the hook and got out of there, and we had to go bonus coverage.
A couple of times he did that. Like the sixth inning, I believe it was, there was that bases loaded, nobody out situation, nothing across for the Longhorns.
Hitters count 3-1 up and away to Aragoos, and he took two steps into that left-hand hitting dugout on his way to first and then gave the umpire a little head shake. He better be careful. So that'll fill it. Base is empty, one away. Aragoos, breaking ball, bullet up the middle. It's going to slice off to the second baseman. High throw. There's Massey again as Zuniga got that lead elbow a little bit ahead of the ball, and that ball sailed high. And good thing he's got a big first baseman save him an error.
Yeah, and sometimes playing second base, you have the most time in the infield to throw the ball over to the first base, and the ball was hit fairly hard to him, and I think he thought he had a little bit more time, and kind of sometimes you want to take your time, and sometimes that catches up to you because you think you have a lot of time rather than getting over there and throwing the ball hard to first base.
Yeah, ask Steve Sachs and Chuck Knobloch about all that. Up and in, some chin music to Nick Martinez. Martinez comes in hitting .425, not too shabby. He's got 17 hits just behind Malin, and the 1-0 is in there for a strike, a ball and a strike. Well, it is tough. You kind of have him on your heels when you some chin music, and then you just throw two beauties.
Absolutely.
Fastball and then a hook.
And that's kind of, I mean, you never want to throw a chin music fastball to start off a batter, but to come back and throw two really good curveballs is pretty good for Johnson.
The 1-2 on the way to Martinez is fisted in the hole at short. It's going to be a tough play, and that'll be an infield hit as Martinez is hustling down the line. Good job by him to leg out a two-out single here in the second.
Yeah, and even in the 1-2 count, he knew he wanted to protect there and kind of didn't get the most of it, but got it in a spot where he could know he could beat it out, and he has pretty good speed, and so he didn't put his head down and was going back to dugout. He hustled down there and beat it out.
There's two things that he did there. Again, he fought off a good pitch with two strikes, and then he hustled. And that's the difference between hitting .425 and, like, say, .350 or .340, those hits like that.
Yeah, and knowing, because I believe he plays football, and so that also helps with the speed over there.
And the first pitch is upstairs and away. It's Kostelnik. He's in right. He's in the 7-hole. And with two away, the Horns are looking for a two-out rally. Martinez at first. Infield single. Brandon, closed stance as Martinez was able to just fall back to the bag. Righty on righty matchup. Johnson's a bigger kid. He's a hefty fella out there, and he's got good command here early in the ballgame.
Yeah, he has good command and isn't afraid to throw those off-speed at any counts.
Throw over, gets away. Martinez is up. He'll look at second. He might even look at third, and he will cruise all the way to third as that pitch ended up, or that pickoff, though, ended up against the fence some probably 20 yards from that first base bag. The right fielder was nowhere near it, and first to third with two away, so any safety here or even an error could plate the opening run of the ballgame.
Yeah, and this is the 7-8-9 hole part of the lineup yet on Tuesday was really kind of
was
what
the
was
key.
Getting the offense moving, and so here we go again with two outs.
1-0, breaking ball is up, so turnabout's fair play as that pitch looked almost identical to the Easton pitches that also did not get the call. So the upper part of the zone is not available here, at least early in the ballgame. 2-0 on the way, and that one's in there as he brings it down and catches the outside half, 2-1 on Dino.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that curveball, he's not on high curveball, he's not calling it, but I think for the fastball, we saw a couple of those, and he was calling those strikes.
2-1 upstairs, and right on cue, good call, Seymour, as that's a high fastball that gets the call. A little bit away, but got enough of the plate to even the count at 2-2. There's two away. It's Martinez at third. He singled and went around on a wild pickoff throw. The 2-2 to Brandino is a slow breaking ball, and that time it drops in for a K looking to retire the side. The Horns strand a man on one hit. We've played two from the ranch. We are still scoreless. 23-6A district play rolls on right here on GRHSiRadio.com.
Fitting.
Finnegan Auto Group is a proud sponsor of George Ranch High School Longhorn Nation. At Finnegan Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, find cool Dodge Challengers, Chargers, and Chrysler 300s. Want to get down and dirty? What about a Jeep Wrangler or Ram truck? Wow! And Finnegan Chevrolet Buick GMC will knock you out with Camaros, Corvettes, and the new Chevy SS. Bam! Check out the all-new Chevy Silverado and GMC Sierra trucks, Tahoe, Suburbans, Yukons, and Denalis. Let's go all the way with George Ranch Longhorns. FinneganAuto.com.
Since 1981, large and small companies have relied on Hunt & Companies to deliver innovative systems, professional OEM service, comprehensive solution, and trains high-quality products. It's hard to stop a train, and it's even harder to stop the Hunt & Group. Call the Hunt & Group at 713-266-3900 or reach out for information via email at info@huntandgroup.com. It's the Hunt & Group, one of George Ranch High School's Athletic Booster Club Platinum Level Business Sponsors.
Hello, fans. I'm Brett Dolan from Root Sports and ESPN3, and I listen to GRHS iRadio.
Top of three, we are scoreless. That'll bring in 8-9-1, Alesna Massey into the top with Bundick. First pitch swinging as Alesna fouls it away up off the screen towards the Buccaneer dugout. We saw a pitcher's duel in the district opener from both of these clubs, and so far the same type of ball game has begun here tonight as we're top of three scoreless. Horns with two hits and the Buccaneers with just one.
Yeah, you're right. Another pitcher's duel. Another so far. I mean, Malin has looked good. He's had two double plays already in two innings of play, and he's allowing some runners on, but ultimately getting out of them and giving his offense a chance.
And the 0-2 is off the plate from Easton. The 1-2 to Alesna on the way. In the wind, breaking ball is low. Tough pitch to lay off as that got a lot of the plate. And Easton not able to get the call. And the 2-2 misses away. Good job by Alesna to work the count a bit. And Tapper back to Easton, no problemo, as he'll underhand it to Hamburg for a relatively quick out number one here in the top of the third.
And pitching-wise, it's always you're in a lot of action, but we've already seen two balls hit right back to him, and he's been busy. Even in with a ground ball to third base, he had to go over there and cover first. So he's been very active and already in two and a third innings here tonight.
Yeah, you got to field your position. There's no question about it. And so far, so good for Easton. As that'll bring in nine-hitter first baseman Sam Massey. First pitch to Massey misses up and out. Massey's been busy over there at first with a couple important plays already. The 1-0, and Easton hangs on a bit too long and misses up. When Easton has missed tonight, he's missed pretty wide and running his pitch count up a little bit. It has the tendency to do that. The 2-0. Is swung on and fouled up over our heads.
That's a good pitch because you don't want to go 3-0 to the 9-hole. You want to get this guy out because there's a reason why he's in the 9-hole. He's probably not their strongest hitter, so you don't want to mess around and give up a 4-pitch walk to them. So good job battling back.
And 2-1 is in and off the plate. Another tough pitch to lay off. Good job if you're Massey. And that'll run it to a hitter's 3-1 count to the 9-hitter. Malin to the line. And misses upstairs. So a one-out walk puts Massey down at first. And it's the second free pass issued tonight by Easton. And with one on and one away, that'll flip the top of the order. And it'll be Hagen Bundick. He singled, stole a base, and was erased on the inning-ending 5-4-3 double play in the first. And he'll stand in with one down in a scoreless ball game. Top of the third from George Ranch High School. We heard Coach Cubs of pregame say all games are important this time of year, and he's absolutely correct as your not only trying to qualify for the extra season, you're also trying to get better seating.
Yeah, and it, with the pretty stacked top of the top tier of this district.
That's
and
right.
With both Paraland teams, Brazoswood's a good team, and George Ranch is a good team. So you don't want any, like you mentioned, any loss hurts you because you want a good seating here at playoffs. But you want to win first to get into playoffs because if you look up and you have too many losses, you'll see some team catch you.
And throw over is low but close as Hamburg able to scoop it and tag.
I mean, can't forget about Strake. Strake's in the district now, and so really there's five really good teams in this district. So you lose tonight and you look up and Brazoswood's only one game back from behind you. So tonight's also a really big night.
You got a courtesy runner, Maverick Polito at first. Two good snap throws from Easton. They're keeping him honest over there. Again, it's Hagen Bundick. Swinging bunt down at third base line and was able to leg out an infield hit against stolen base and was later erased. And the first pitch, and that's probably the best hook we've seen from Easton tonight, first pitch strike on Bundick.
Right, and it was early in the count. You want to, because the last two batters, he kind of felt he got the first guy out, but he gave up the walk to the second batter in this inning, and he fell behind both batters. So good job getting ahead of this one.
And runner again leaning the wrong way, and Easton just needs to wait about a half a tick and let him get just a little bit more off the bag as he's snap throwing when they're walking off the bag, but they're still only a step or two away from it. And the 0-1 is fouled back 0-2. The job by Easton to get ahead of this hitter.
Yeah, you're right. And we've seen both innings, leadoff runner, I believe it was, get on base. So, and we saw both movements. So we haven't seen him lean a little bit too much, but he is getting his signs from the coach down on the third base side, and so we might see him running here.
Another throw over. We're in the top of the third. We are scoreless. 0-2. Misses up and out. Again, easy pitch for the hitters to lay off.
Yeah, 0-2 count, though, so it wasn't the worst miss in the world because you don't want to give up too good of a pitch and being up 0-2. Still 1-2 count and much in a very much of a pitcher's count here.
1-2. And again, squeezing him. Oh, check it. He gets the call. A delayed call by home plate umpire. And that's a strikeout looking at a big spot to have it from Easton Malin there. There's two away here in the third.
Yeah, it was for us, it was a little bit delayed because he probably set it down low. We can't hear him being in the booth here. But nonetheless, it was a really good spot from Malin and didn't throw that curveball when we've seen him throw in 1-2, 0-2 counts. He stuck with his fastball and painted on the outside corner.
Another throw over. Now, didn't Tarando tell us we were going to get the umpires mic'd?
That's what I heard.
Yeah, yeah. We'll check with our labor attorneys on that. First pitch to two-hitter Taylor Say is in there for a strike. He was victim of the first Malin strikeout of the night. And he's behind here in his second AB. Two away. Lesna, check it, Massey walked with one away. Another good pitch from Easton is in there for a strike. Quickly 0-2. 0-2 on the last two hitters is, you know, that's what you try to do, try to control each AB.
Yeah, and settle in, finding his rhythm these last two batters. And early in this inning, he was just missing. But these last two batters, he's really looked like the Malin that we know that he's a really good pitcher.
Another throw over. The 0-2, upstairs, runner's going. Throw down is waiting on the runner, and that's a caught stealing. So three up, three down go the Bucks in the third. And we've seen a little traffic for Easton, but he's able to via the double play and thereby the caught stealing. He has been able to wiggle off the hook. We've played two and a half from the ranch. We are scoreless.
Hey, Longhorns, the time is now to order your George Ranch High School yearbooks. Relive every side-splitting, buzzer-beating, and tear-jerking moment for the rest of your lives. Don't y'all all be left in the pasture while all your friends are getting their yearbook signed by all of Longhorn Nation. Yeah! Order your yearbooks today. It's your legacy.
The Fort Bend Gridiron Football League is beginning its seventh year as a competitive youth football league that stresses a positive, safe, and fun environment for players,
parents, and coaches. Fort Bend Gridiron Football is partnered with USA Football, a youth football development arm of the NFL and NFLPA, and features six competitive zones based on the same school boundaries as Austin, Clements, Foster, George Ranch, Lamar Consolidated, and Ridgepoint High Schools. There is freshman football for 7- and 8-year-olds, JV for 9- and 10-year-olds, and varsity play for 11- and 12-year-olds who are not yet in the 7th grade. For more information, go to the league's website at FortBendGridironFootball.com.
Back with you, bottom of the third inning. First pitch misses away to Hamburg. It'll be 8-9-1 here in the bottom of the third. And on the 0-1, it's a grounder to the shortstop's right. High throw, no problem. Leal at short to Massey at first for a 6-3 out number one.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of first pitch swinging from the Longhorns, trying to be aggressive and jumping on the fastball from Johnson, who's he's getting ahead and locating his pitch as well, and Hamburg just missed that one from going to left field, and not a bad approach going in, but here comes the Fuqua with the 9-hole. We saw him last game, and he was, I mean, didn't hit the ball the hardest, but found a way to get on a lot of times.
Yeah, he had a very interesting night offensively. He had three singles, two caught stealings as he looks at a really nasty hook from Kay Johnson for a first pitch strike. And he was in the middle of that seventh inning rally. He hits a BB up the middle. That's a clean single. Really nice job for Trent Fuqua as he hits a bullet right back up the box and into center field.
Yeah, and hit that one really hard, actually. And one of the hardest hits balls we've seen him from this season.
At the plate, he,
good job from the 9-hole hitter, and kind of similar to what we saw last game. It's been the bottom of the order, getting ahead of things and getting on base and setting it up for the top of the lineup. And we saw Wilson get it one of those dribblers and finally kind of break out of a slump, hopefully. But we'll see here in this at bat and see if he's back and going again.
Wilson comes in. He singled and was erased on the line-out double play that ended that top of the first inning. Fuqua's running, and Wilson cues it right down to Massey at first. So running and hitting were the horns. Fuqua will stand out at second with two down. And had Wilson gotten that in the hole on the right side, that would have been perfect. He actually was just a little bit late on it. Good handling of the bat still, but just not the location he wanted that ground ball.
Right, and probably a hit and run with the ball being a little bit pitched outside, and normally you'll see him take because he has a pretty good zone at the plate, and so hit and run, and you always have to swing on that. So did his job and got the run over to second base in scoring position.
That'll bring in Jaden Adams. He fouled out to Lesna at third, and he's first pitch hacking comes up empty. He's had a hot bat as he was in, has been inserted in the lineup. He's batting 333 coming into the night. That'll drop a little bit with that 0-for-1. He's got 11 hits and has scored 10 runs. And Johnson with the 0-1, swing and a miss. And that almost looked like it may have been a change or almost a fork action.
Yeah, something probably
splitter.
We haven't seen tonight. And the first one, the way Adams was swinging, it kind of threw him off balance.
0-2, two really nice pitches from Johnson to start this AB. Fuqua dancing off second. Johnson takes a peek, deals in the dirt, ball kicks away, and there goes Trent. He'll take a look as he rounds third. Good base running as everything was out in front of him, and when it kicked away from Say, Trent was able to easily get to third base on the wild pitch.
Yeah, being at second base, you have a really good angle of where the pitch is going to be and recognize the ball's in the dirt. And just once he saw that ball kick away, he took off to get to third base, and now he's only 90 feet away. But setting up that him being at third base was because Wilson, with the hit and run, moved him over to second base.
Back-to-back innings, the Horns have put a man at third base with two down. There's a 1-2 count on Jaden Adams, and the pitch is on the way and low and away from the right-hander. That'll even things at 2-2. There are two away. We're in the bottom of three, scoreless. Kay Johnson rocks and fires. Swing and a miss in the dirt. Caught cleanly by catcher Mason Say, and that strikeout will retire the side here in the third. The Horns strand one more runner. That's two through three innings, And again, a theme we don't like to see for that Horns offense. We've played three from the ranch. We remain scoreless.
The art and science of prosthodontics, of restoring and rehabilitating mouths to full function and effectiveness, begins with the treatment of people. That's why the staff at Dr. Stuart Rhymes' office treat people first. At Stuart Rhymes' office, the focus is on adult care, from single crowns to dentures to full mouth rehabilitations. Be sure to visit the Smile Gallery on Dr. Rhymes' website to view before and after pictures of the good work done by Dr. Rhymes and his staff. That's the office of Dr. Stuart Rhymes, DDS, MS, in Sugarland Town Square. For an appointment, call 281-313-1565 or visit him on the web at rhymesdds.com.
And welcome back in, GRHSIRadio.com, as we move to the top of inning number four. It'll be two-hitter Taylor Say, his brother Mason, and then designated hitter Graydon Hill. Easton Malin has had a little bit of traffic through three, but able to get off the hook every inning.
Yeah, able to get off the hook and a couple early runners on base, but like you said, he's already had two double plays tonight, and so he's getting out of innings and keeping his ball, keeping his team in the ballgame.
First pitch to Say is a slow hopper to Araguse's right. Good throw, no problem. Real nice, smooth play by Anthony Araguse. One pitch, one out here in the top of the fourth.
And it's a big out. One of the first runners, first batters we've seen in an inning not reach base to start off an inning. So get that first guy under this belt, and now he sets up the four hole or the. Oh, I'm sorry. The two-hole was still up on that one with the caught stealing down there at second base. So,
yeah, Say was at the plate when the caught stealing on the courtesy runner. And a real nice breaking ball to start Mason Say off with a strike one. And, folks, I promised to mention some of the auction items, and there are more than a few, so we'll try to work them in. The 0-1, swing and a miss. There is an autographed Jake Owen guitar, autographed Yamaha acoustic guitar signed by Jake Owen, donated by the George Ranch volleyball team and the new 93Q. I know you're a Jake Owen fan. The 0-2 is up, fouled away, out of play, up over top of that Buccaneer dugout. There's also a street sign. You can put your name on the George Ranch street sign for the 2019-2020 school year, and that was donated by Principal Dr. Black, so that's pretty cool there.
Absolutely. Have your own street name.
That's right.
Put it in Google, put it in Apple Maps. And
the 0-2, swing and a miss. Really nice sequence from Easton as he sends Mason to the bench in three pitches. A really nice AB for pitcher Easton Malin.
Right, and it sets up getting that first out and always gets you in a rhythm. And even, I think, honestly, going back to that caught stealing, I know it was the brother and always, but you know, you have your defense behind you, and knowing you have your defense behind you gets you in a rhythm. And so he comes out and gets that first out, and now comes back with a three straight pitch strikeout. So really good sequence from Malin. He looks like he's back in a rhythm.
That'll bring in designated hitter Graydon Hill. He grounded into a 5-4-3 inning double play in the first, and he's up there with two away and looks at a first pitch ball. The 1-0 fouled straight back at us, right into the screen. And a ball and a strike, top of four, two away. Here's another item. There's a puppy and vet certificate. Bella is a 14-week-old Chihuahua mix puppy. The 1-1 in there for a strike. Really nice hook. It seems like he's taking a little velocity off that, allowing it to kind of dip more into the zone.
Right, getting a little bit more snap on it. And we can see that from our point of view. We know when he has that good curveball working for him.
The 1-2, upstairs, good pitch or good job by Hill to lay off. That's a tough pitch. Puppy and vet certificate. Bell is a 14-week-old Chihuahua mix coming to us through the love and care of Melissa Mangus and the Mutts and Meow Animal Rescue. And so there's an opportunity to adopt an animal. Hamburg on the ground ball goes to his right. Malin covers, throws behind Malin, no problem. He reaches back, makes the catch. Three up, three down go the Buccaneers as they have the last three innings. And we have played three and a half. We'll tell you more about the puppy and vet certificate when we come back right here on George Ranch High School. iRadio.com.
If you're into sports, especially high school sports, then the Fort Bend Herald is for you. The Fort Bend Herald, Fort Bend's oldest newspaper since 1892, covers area high school sports like no other paper around. And for as little as $9 a month, you can have it delivered right to your door 6 days a week. And with every subscription, you have immediate access to the paper's online edition at no extra cost. So if you're into high school sports, the Fort Bend Herald's sports pages are for you. To subscribe, go to fbherald.com, pay online to activate your subscription. You can also begin receiving the Fort Bend Herald by calling 281-342-4474. That's the Fort Bend Herald, Fort Bend's oldest newspaper since 1892.
Bottom of four as we roll on. It'll be Malin, Gage Graham, and Anthony Aragoos. 3-4-5 for Coach Kubza and the Horns offense. And if you were with us in the last segment, we were telling you about the puppy and vet certificate. This is a live auction item. So you have an opportunity to adopt a pup. Includes a veterinary service exam, remaining shots, spaying at Greatwood Veterinary Clinic. And that is donated by Dr. Rodney. And Carolyn Anderson is a ground ball. That third base line is going to kick away from Alesna. And it was going to be a tough play to get the speedy Malin. And that's going to be a hit, I think. And the consensus, the Supreme Court down there, it says that's a hit for Malin as his average is going to continue to go up.
Yeah, and it's a second straight at bat and first pitch swinging that he's on it, because that's the second, the first at bat he hit a rope to the first baseman and just right at him, ended up being a double play. But this one wasted no time again and hit a screamer down the line, and really tough play for the third baseman Alesna over there.
That'll bring in Graham. He hit a hard hit ground ball to the third baseman to start the inning, and we've got Seth McVay as the courtesy runner. And he is a dangerous man out there, as he's got six stolen bases in very limited action. And the first pitch to Graham is going to kick in the dirt. Really nice job by Mason Say. I'm not sure how he gloved that.
Yeah, really good stop. And if he doesn't get that, we obviously would see McVay over there at second base, maybe looking for
maybe
third.
There's also, folks, at the live auction, an indoor target shooting package. Includes indoor target practice for up to 10 guests, one target per person, hearing and eye protection, unlimited gun rentals, one box of 9mm ammo, use of the shooting simulator, and firearm rental safety course as needed. Winner can purchase more ammo at a discount. That is donated by the Boyert Shooting Center, Westheimer location. So we've got a good selection of live auction items as the 1-0 to Graham is upstairs and in. 2-0, hitters count now for your big burly designated hitter.
Yeah, hitters count, but we've seen Johnson throw his curveball in any situation he would like, so you can't get that out of the way and make sure that you're not sitting just fastball. And be ready for a curveball just in case.
He is out of the stretch. The 2-0. Swing and a miss, kicks away, and just right on cue, Seth's going to take a big turn at second and take a peek. As great movement on that breaking ball as Gage Graham came up empty with a big hack, 2-0. And fortunately for the Horns, it kicks away from catcher Mason Say. And with nobody out and a runner at second base, we'll see perhaps just one strike. I don't know, can Gage handle the bat and lay down a bunt?
Yeah,
man at third.
Right, we've seen him kind of struggle with those curveballs low and easily could have been a 3-0 count. But now we have the runner at second, and so I don't know if we'll see the four-hole scoring around a bunt, but this might be the worst thing in the world here if he does that.
2-1, and Johnson will wheel out the fake pickoff move to second base. This next live auction item is a big deal, folks. Parking spaces. Be the first to choose your parking spot for next school year. Parking fee is included, and that's donated by the Booster Club and Dr. Black. The 2-1, upstairs and away. Good job by Gage to lay off. And he's ahead 3-1. Again, DH, base open. We'll see if Johnson's going to nibble here.
Yeah, DH, like you said, base open, four-hole hitter. So I don't know if we'll see Johnson come back and try to compete in this at-bat. I probably will with just one strike and not a 3-0 count. But could have been ball four for Graham.
3-1, swing and a miss. And again, it's that good slider as it looks out of his hand like a fastball and then just disappears off the table. So this next one, I'm going to have you read this next one because it just number six here. It just wouldn't be right for me to read that. And we're going to see if we can read that after this. So the count has run full to Gage. There's nobody out. Seth McVay, courtesy runner for Easton Malin, is down at second. Infielders jockeying behind McVay. Johnson takes a peek. And he'll bring it and swing and a miss. So three sliders, and Graham goes down swinging for out number one.
Yeah, so we have a handcrafted wood-burning fire pit made by Mr. Brown's high school ag science class.
Oh, you left something out.
Customized with an A&M cutouts. And that is donated by George Ranch Booster Club.
I'm just
and
kidding.
Mr. Brown's
just
Ag
kidding.
Science class.
We love the Aggies. They're in the SEC West, so they can't be all bad. And with one away, that'll bring in Aragoos. He grounded a slow roller to second for out number two in the second. Ball kicks away, and there goes Seth as Mason Say can't find it. And he's able to eventually locate it as it kicked down towards that first base line. And with just one away and a man at third, you know what that means.
Yeah, we could be seeing a squeeze early in this game trying to get that first run across the board. And you have the guy who has really good bat control and really good speed over there down third base. So
I was thinking a well-placed ground ball or medium-depth fly ball.
Or that, too.
Infield in on the grass. So Coach Kresman thinking the same thing we are as the Horns look to draw first blood. It is a 1-0 count on Anthony. And a really nice pitch as that just drops in on the outside half. This next auction item is a really big deal. Four Astros tickets and a parking pass. Saturday, May 11th versus the Rangers. Section 127, Row 2, seats 5 through 8. Donated as parking lot C. And that is donated by the Arredondo family. So thanks to them. In the dirt. And Mason, good job as he had that forward lean and kept the ball out in front of him. If he's even slightly off, that ball's going to kick away and Seth's going to come across the pay station.
Yeah, and kept it just enough in front of him into the side where he really couldn't get that run scored, that first run scored for the Longhorns. And this is a big inning because you want that runner scored. Less than two outs or nobody out, and he was at second base. So I want to get this one across.
And with a 2-1 count, Coach Kresman's going to take the stroll out of that first base dugout and probably try and settle his right-hander down. As with McVay on third, again, three consecutive innings, the Horns have had the man at third, and last two innings was two away.
Right.
Yeah, this is an inning where Johnson kind of has looked not himself. And yes, he hasn't given up a run this inning yet, but his misses haven't really been close. And we saw him against the at-bat against Graham. His misses weren't even that close and kind of just had Graham chasing a little bit, but wasn't the best at-bat we've seen from Graham this season. But even these last two balls he's thrown have been in the dirt, so a lot of pitches in the dirt this inning from Johnson.
Absolutely. Yeah, Coach Kresman obviously saw something that he wanted to tend to as we got little Zoni watching in and listening in. I don't know why he's not here supporting his school. But 2-1 the count on Aragoos. It's McVay down at third. Anthony back in there, right-handed hitter with the open stance. Kay Johnson, the 2-1. Hammer down left field line and fair ball. Extra bases for Aragoos. McVay strolls across with run number one. And that's an RBI double by third baseman senior Anthony Aragoos.
Yeah, really good at-bat from Aragoos in 2-1 count, hitter's count, and he saw a fastball and ripped it down the left field line, and something we didn't see even last game. It was more of station-to-station baseball and situational against the Oilers, and an extra base hit for the Longhorns in earlier in the game with the fourth inning, and that was a key run because, like we were saying, senior at second base, and so yeah, very good at bat and from Arrigo's there.
So Anthony's down at second with that RBI double. The Horns draw first blood, and that'll bring in Nick Martinez. He singled and was stranded back in the second inning. Pickoff move, whirling Derbish style, as second baseman Nick Zuniga runs in behind Anthony, and Arrigo's is able to get back. The final and the grand finale of the live auction is a catered banquet for 30 people. And we'll give you some more details here in a moment. Good breaking ball, this time missing away. Nice job by Martinez to lay off. Enjoy authentic Mexican cuisine from Raiz's Mexican Kitchen in Stafford. Winning bid will receive a catered banquet for 30 people. Main course will be short ribs, chicken, side dishes, rice, vegetables, empanadas, tres leches for dessert. Donated by Aristo Gaspar, the owner of Raiz's Mexican Kitchen in Stafford, and that again is a catered banquet for 30. So quite a good selection of live auction items. And one thing we did not mention is one of our sponsors is Russo's in Greatwood, and they are one of the sponsors of the Boots and Blank. So I'd like to give a shout out to them, and they've got one heck of a delivery driver over there. Ball and a strike on Martinez. Make sure you tip the kid. It's kind of got blonde hair when you deliver from Russo's. And so Mason Say is wanting to take a stroll out to the hill and talk to his big right hander as a run's already in. He didn't like something he saw on that last delivery to Martinez.
Well, it's the second time going out there, so my guess is probably mix up with signs or can't see the signs with the shadow once the lights come on. And we've seen that often. We've seen that from Longhorn pitchers and opponent pitchers.
Yep. 1-1, Martinez digs back in. Arrigo's on second, middle infielders dancing around behind him. Johnson takes a peek, and another good breaking ball starts in the middle of the plate and moves well off the plate to the right-handers.
Yeah, and swung at ball two there, and we've seen a lot of the Longhorn hitters being a little bit impatient and swinging at balls, and so not working, getting a deep in counts and setting themselves up for hitting situations.
Horns have five hits. They've got a run across here in the fourth. Inside-out swing is hammered into the air. It'll hang up for Bundick. Tagging and faking a break is Arrigo's as center fielder Bundick threw a rope over to third base. Note the center fielder's arm as that had some velocity on it.
Yeah, it had some velocity. It wasn't the most accurate one, but it was pretty well close to the bag. And so, yeah, if it was a runner on second base late in the game and the tying winning run, something, a very important run, is about to score. Coach Gasway has to remember that because we know he has a gun over there in the center field.
That'll bring in Kostelnik. He comes in. He struck out looking to end the second. He comes in batting 281 on the night. And the 0-0 first pitch offering's hammered into left center. Bundick on his horse. It's going to drop. And Kostelnik's going to take a big turn, and then he'll hit the brakes as Arrigo's moseys across the pay station. Two-out RBI single by right fielder senior Brandon Kostelnik.
Yeah, good job of hitting, and the wind might have pushed it a little bit more left and out of Bundick's way over there in center field, but two-out hitting, and something we didn't see last couple of games is in that middle of the lineup really working, and we saw it was a 3-4-5 here tonight, and it's double down the line, and now a good two-out single RBI, and now kind of give Mainland some run support to work with.
You always love the two-out hitting, and it's something the Horns did not produce those last two ball games. As first pitch swing is Hamburg, it's high near that Buccaneer dugout, and will be not caught as Massey got right close to that gate in front of the visitor dugout and was unable to complete the catch. And Hamburg will get another hack. 0-1 the count. Horns have pushed in front. We're in the bottom of the fourth. It's 2-0, good guys. As district play rolls on. And the Ranch Rowdies have made their way out here. We'll hear them chirp up every now and again.
I think we need a Tom Tarando shout-out, and we'll definitely hear him.
The famous runner goes. Pitch is low. Scoop. Throw down is not in time. Stolen base from Kostelnik as he almost made it a double on the original hit, but instead he just said, you know what, let me add to my stolen base stats, as that is stolen base. Well, I say that. That's just his third on the season.
Yeah, just getting that number up. And Says throw to second base, hitting that ground, kind of slowed things down and made Kostelnik get in there safely.
With two away, the key is he's now down in scoring position. The 1-1 to Hamburg is a breaking ball, a slow breaking ball that dips low. Good job by Nate to lay off. 2-1.
And I don't have the pitch count in front of me, but I'm almost certain this is the most pitches he's thrown in an inning this game, and really making Johnson work here this inning. It's been good for the offense because they're seeing a lot of pitches and getting more comfortable with the strike zone from the umpire.
2-1, righty on righty battle with two away and a man at second. That breaking ball stays up, but not up enough as a delayed call. It's the first high breaking ball I think we saw seen called a strike. And Hamburg, I'm sure, appreciates that. 2-2 now the count.
Yeah, just one of those calls that we were saying earlier in the game. He has his zone, and he'll expand it later as the game goes on. And not a call Hamburg was thinking that was going to be a strike.
Johnson to the belt, the 2-2, swing and a miss, upstairs gas, and Hamburg goes down swinging, but the Horns pick a pair. They plate two runs on three hits, they strand a man. We've played four from George Ranch. The Longhorns lead it 2-0.
The main sponsor is the Finnegan Auto Group.
If you're into sports, especially high school sports, then the Fort Bend Herald is for you. The Fort Bend Herald, Fort Bend's oldest newspaper since 1892, covers area high school sports like no other paper around. And for as little as $9 a month, you can have it delivered right to your door 6 days a week. And with every subscription, you have immediate access to the paper's online edition at no extra cost. So if you're into high school sports, the Fort Bend Herald's sports pages are for you. To subscribe, go to fbherald.com, pay online to activate your subscription. You can also begin receiving the Fort Bend Herald by calling 281-342-4474. That's the Fort Bend Herald, Fort Bend's oldest newspaper since 1892.
Harold and Johnson Dentistry provides a comprehensive dental resource for you and your family. One thing that has separated Harold and Johnson Dentistry from the others is their emphasis on educating patients about their treatment options and their oral health issues. Harold and Johnson Dentistry proudly provides quality dental care with services including cosmetic dentistry, general dentistry, teeth whitening, dental implants, extractions, and much more. Call Harold and Johnson Dentistry at 281-937-1671. Or stop by their office at 1233 Crab River Road in Richmond, or find them on the web at haroldentistry.com.
And welcome back in. We move to the fifth, top of the fifth. It's 2-0. Slow tapper to Malin's left. No problem. He fields it cleanly and takes it himself for one pitch, one ground out, number one.
Yeah, and that's like his third, I believe it is. Comebacker to him, and it's one of the rare pitchered unassisted plays you'll see in baseball. But he's looking good, and now he's finally found his rhythm coming off a three-up, three-down inning last half inning.
That was Zuniga, who was hit by a pitch and was erased in a double play in the second. This is Jocko, who also hit back to Malin for a 1-6-3 double play in the second.
Jocko.
And the left fielder left-hand hitting Jocko looks at a first pitch strike for Malin. Open stance. Swing and a miss upstairs as Easton is settling in, mixing his pitches, mixing locations, as well as speed.
Yeah, and getting ahead of batters, and that's been the key. His last half inning we saw him pitch, he was getting ahead of batters, and way ahead of batters, actually, in his 0-2 counts. And so getting ahead early is really key for Malin, and we're seeing it here.
Way ahead here, 0-2 to Jocko. Malin to the wine, swing and foul away. We talked in the pregame about him wanting to get that 5-6 ERA down. So far, so good. See if Tarando can get it up to the minute ERA. Up to the pitch by pitch ERA. Batter by batter.
Out by out.
That's right. The 0-2 to Jocko. Swing and tapped foul down that first base line. Hamburg was waiting for it in foul ground. And everybody will reset. A beautiful evening for baseball as district plays. We are in the heart of district play. We've basically played everybody once.
So I think this is the first one we've seen them twice going around again.
Second time through the district. And you know the Horns want to circle the streak in the Pearland games as those were tough ones. But, again, tonight's the key. Bounce-back night. Bounce back for the Horns in addition to pitcher Easton Malin, who pitched a nice ball game against Strake. And the Horns, again, come up short into that extra inning one-run deficit. Inside out, soft liner to Aragoo's. Barely moved. I think he might have leaned slightly to his left. That's a fly out to the third baseman and two quick outs here in the fifth.
Shortstop, Damian Leal.
And now Shane wants to talk to Easton, who I believe is retired nine straight.
Yeah, that's what I have in mind. And it's like we're saying, he's found that rhythm. And so he's early in the game. We kind of saw him falling behind in counts, but coming back and getting out of innings. And now he's really found a really fun rhythm to watch pitch.
Yeah, well, he did walk. He walked Massey. So it's definitely six straight, but what it
six
is,
straight.
We got the caught stealing.
That's
on Massey. Yeah, so.
Anyways, it's
he's basically
six.
Faced one over the minimum.
Right, exactly, and he's looked really well.
Faced one over the minimum through 4 2/3. That's pretty good. And the 1-0 to shortstop Damian Leal is just a bit high. As that's a pitch we saw Kay Johnson get in the prior inning.
And kind of things kind of reversed. The last half inning we saw him call a high curveball a strike. In the first three innings, those were balls. This inning we see a high strike or high fastball, usually a strike, but this one it was a ball.
And that's a good fastball in the outer half right through the zone from a height perspective. No chance that was going to be called high or low, right through the belt range. The 2-1 on the way. Swung on, hitting to right field. Kostelnik on his horse. That ball's going to dump in. He got a good jump on it, but playing deep, he was not able to get that very softly hit line drive from shortstop Damian Leal. That's just hit number two for the Buccaneers.
Yeah, probably playing in a no doubles defense, two outs. Don't really just give up a double with two outs in this inning. So it was playing a little bit further back and kind of allowed that hit to drop down.
That'll bring in Alesna. He tapped back to Malin to lead off the third. And he's up there with two away. Quick throw over. Pushes Leal back. Not much of a lead for Leal. Malin, the first pitch. That's a good one. That catches the outside corner. After that first inning, his first pitch to most of these batters has been either a strike or swung on or, you know,
put in
close.
Play.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was one thing I mentioned to you before the game started is I like to see him kind of get ahead of batters, and so because that makes him subtle in batters, and he can throw curveballs where he wants and fastballs where he wants.
He's now jumped way ahead of Alesna. He's up 0-2. Two down, a man at first. We're in the top of five in a 2-0 Horns lead. And another throw over. Easton came into the inning with 59 pitches, so he's so-so on his economy. And you add to it about 15 throw-overs. The 0-2 misses away. Ball gets away. Shane's got him dead to rights. High throw to Adams and safe. Too much time for Shane. He maybe thought about it for a half a second. And high throw, and Jaden was unable to get it down as Leal hesitated halfway between first and second. That usually means you're out.
Yeah, he hesitated going from first to second. It looked like Shane double-tapped with the glove and maybe caused him two steps a little bit to gun him down. If he doesn't do that, probably straight bullet to second base and doesn't have to rush a throw.
1-2, soft ground ball to Hamburg. No problem. Touches the bag himself. And Malin slaps his glove, and looks over at that first base dugout. Not sure what that was about, but we'll keep an eye on that. We've played 4.5 from the ranch. Horns with a 2-0 lead, looking to play add-on as they come in to hit.
Finnegan Auto Group is a proud sponsor of George Ranch High School Longhorn Nation. At Finnegan Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, find cool Dodge Challengers, Chargers, and Chrysler 300s. Want to get down and dirty? What about a Jeep Wrangler or Ram truck? Wow! And Finnegan Chevrolet Buick GMC will knock you out with Camaros, Corvettes, and the new Chevy SS. Bam! Check out the all-new Chevy Silverado and GMC Sierra trucks, Tahoe, Suburbans, Yukons, and Denalis. Let's go all the way with George Ranch Longhorns. FinneganAuto.com.
Since 1981, large and small companies have relied on Hunt & Companies to deliver innovative systems, professional OEM service, comprehensive solution, and Trane's high-quality products. It's hard to stop a Trane, and it's even harder to stop the Hunt & Group. Call the Hunt & Group at 713-266-3900 or reach out for information via email at info@huntandgroup.com. It's the Hunting Group, one of George Ranch High School's Athletic Booster Club Platinum Level Business Sponsors.
Leading off for
and
George
welcome
Ranch
back in.
Bottom of the fifth
inning. It'll be 9-1-2.
Trent Fuquay.
Fuquay singled, made his way all the way to third, and was stranded back in the third. Horns have stranded 3 through 4. Not as bad as we've seen on the previous two ball games, and plus with Kostelnik getting that 2-out RBI, that sort of changes things. You'll take stranding that runner, you know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
If you reach on a 2-out RBI.
Exactly, and something like you said, we hadn't really seen the last couple of games is some clutch hitting in middle of the game. We saw him in the last game in the seventh inning. It was pretty clutch, but it wasn't situational as the last couple of games have been.
1-0 to Fuquay, well hit to Bundick's right, but it does hang up for the center fielder to squeeze it for out number one here in the bottom of the fifth. Nice job again by Fuquay as he's squaring it up and using the middle of the diamond, which is what you try to do. Good things happen when you hit hard and hit it up the middle of the diamond.
Exactly. I was always told I was a hitter in select team and all that, but so I know a little bit about hitting, but I was told in the cages you want to hit up the middle because then that translates to being in game.
High hopper to third. Wilson is motoring down the line. Good play by Lesna. The key there, Christian, is Lesna was in at the bag, so the one hopper came right to him, and he had the short throw. And Jacob tried to reach there and kind of slams his hand into his helmet as two quick outs here in the bottom of the fifth will bring up Jaden Adams.
Yeah, and second time playing teams, and so they know what the other team has to offer. And wasn't there in Breslin mentioning it again, but sure, they saw Wilson's speed, and they're putting that into thought in this game and playing him a little bit more shallower than most other hitters. And usually if that guy's playing back, he's safe at first, but playing up, he gets that out at first.
Two outs, bases empty, first pitch, slider catches the outside corner, strike one to Adams. He comes in 0-for-2. He fouled out to Lesna at third in the first. And the 0-1 from Johnson's in the dirt, ball one. And Adams struck out with a man at third to end the third. So he is 0-for-2, and there's a 1-1 pitch on the way. He's hammered high and foul out of play up over that first base dugout. Ball and two strikes on shortstop junior Jaden Adams.
Yeah,
Wide open stance, righty on righty. The 1-2, slow tapper to third, and that ball's going to get foul. And good thing for the Buccaneer faithful. Otherwise, that was an infield hit from the speedy Jaden Adams.
Yeah, and just got around on that one and just felt it off down the third base line. So he's protecting, and we haven't really seen Adams come through in a couple of games. So it'll be nice to see him get a hold of one and break out of a little slump.
Folks, if you haven't heard of Boots and Bling, number one, where have you been? And number two, it's still not too late to get tickets up until midnight tonight. GRHS ABC as the 1-2 hits Adams on the backside as that breaking ball did not break. If anything, might have backed up towards the hitter. And two out hit by pitch has Adams down at first. Again, that's GRHSABC.com up until midnight. And get your tickets. Sports supports George Ranch Athletics. And your ticket includes dinner, adult beverages, and tickets to the show by the Spasmatics.
Yeah, a night of fun and supporting a good cause in the athletics. So go out and have a good night tomorrow night.
That's right. We've told you about the auction items. And there's some other stuff going on, but it's going to be where the party's at. Because you know why? Because Tom Tarando is going to be there, folks. So that's all you need to know.
Yeah.
He is cutting and scratching, and he is. And Malin, first pitch, is a fly ball on the right. And Taylor Say took two steps back and then charged in a little bit. And one pitch takes care of Malin to end the fifth. The Horns strand a man with a hit by pitch, no runs, and no hits. Through five, the Horns with a 2-0 lead.
Longhorns, the time is now to order your George Ranch High School yearbooks. Relive every side-splitting, buzzer-beating, and tear-jerking moment for the rest of your lives. Don't y'all all be left in the pasture while all your friends are getting their yearbook signed by all of Longhorn Nation. Hey-oh! Order your yearbooks today. It's your legacy.
The Fort Bend Gridiron Football League is beginning its seventh year as a competitive youth football league that stresses a positive, safe, and fun environment for players, parents, and coaches. Fort Bend Gridiron Football is partnered with USA Football, a youth football development arm of the NFL and NFLPA, and features six competitive zones based on the same school boundaries as Austin, Clements, Foster, George Ranch, Lamar Consolidated, and Ridge Point High Schools. There is freshman football for 7- and 8-year-olds, JV for 9- and 10-year-olds, and varsity play for 11- and 12-year-olds who are not yet in the 7th grade. For more information, go to the league's website at FortBendGridironFootball.com.
And welcome back in, folks. Chris Elliott, Christian Moore, former right-hand pitcher for these very Longhorns.
First baseman.
Now, were you on the team that went to Austin?
I was not.
You were, what, on JV that year?
So that was my freshman year, I think it was.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. And first pitch swing, ground ball to short, throws up the line. Hamburg makes the catch and makes the tag for a 6-3 ground out / tag out. And that was Massey, who's a little bit slow to get up, not too bad, as this throw from Adams sailed up the line a little
center
bit.
Yeah, good job by Hamburg over there at first base, and knowing he has time to come off the bag and catch that ball rather than stretching and possibly missing it, was played the safer route and went off the bag, tagged him, and Massey over there tried to do one of those duck-out-of-the-way moves and kind of almost looked like he hurt himself a little bit.
Good pitch. First pitch strike to leadoff hitter Hagen Bundick. He's 1-for-2 on the night. We are in the sixth, folks. That is pitch number 76 for Easton Malin. So he's in line with a decent pitch count as the 0-1 dips low and a little bit inside on Bundick. He singled, stole a base, and was erased in the ending double play. And he struck out to end the third. He's now in there with a 1-1 count with the bases empty and one away. Bad ball. Malin rocks and fires the 1-1, is up and out. Nearly kind of caught the top corner of that zone, but did not get the call. Horns lost their first two district games, the last two ball games. And tonight's a bounce back night, and Malin doing his job, and the bats have done just enough, and the 2-1 is in there. As Bundick had a notion and then thought better of it, and that'll even the count at 2-2.
Yeah, you just mentioned those two losses again and how important tonight is, but those two losses, they could easily have been on top of those. They've had their missed opportunities, so not even just getting beat. They mostly beat themselves those games, so really important night. And so far, they're doing really well tonight.
And the big stat that we left out of the other night with was the same stat we went into the night with. They stranded 11 men, did the Horns offense against Strake, and again, 11. And the 2-2 catches the outside corner. Check swing doesn't matter. It's in there for strike three. And there's two quick outs here in the sixth.
Yeah, a lot of missed opportunities those two games. But tonight we're seeing a little bit more consistency, 1-9. And we're seeing a lot more clutch hitting and a lot more extra base hits.
A little bit better night tonight. They have stranded four men through five innings, so not quite the same clip as before. And with two away and the bases empty, that'll bring in right fielder Taylor Say. Check swing to Malin, and let's see if he takes it himself. He will not. He'll toss it to Hamburg. And the two share a quick little, hey, good job, way to go. We have played 5.5. The Horns are looking good. They're shutting out the Buccaneers 2-0.
Art and science of prothodontics, of restoring and rehabilitating mouths to full function and effectiveness, begins with the treatment of people. That's why the staff at Dr. Stuart Rimes' office treat people first. At Stuart Rimes' office, the focus is on adult care, from single crowns to dentures to full mouth rehabilitations. Be sure to visit the Smile Gallery on Dr. Rimes' website to view before and after pictures of the good work done by Dr. Rimes and his staff. That's the office of Dr. Stuart Rimes, DDS, MS, in Sugarland Town Square. For an appointment, call 281-313-1565 or visit him on the web at rimesdds.com.
We're the Bells Junior Varsity Drill Team at George Ranch High School, and you're listening to Longhorn Sports on GRHS High Radio.
Number 16, the DH.
And welcome back in GRHSI Radio. Chris Elliott and Christian Moore. It's a beautiful night for baseball, and if you're Horns faithful, so far so good. As we move to the bottom of the sixth with a 2-0 lead, and designated hitter Gage Graham offers at the first K. Johnson pitch and taps it foul right near home plate. 0-1 count on Gage. Gage 0-2 tonight, grounded to third, a hard hit ground ball in that first AB of the third inning, and he struck out back in the fourth, and he's quickly in an 0-2 hole.
Yeah, and similar situation to what he came up to bat last half inning. He kind of was chasing a lot of pitches that he didn't want to, he was trying to lay off of, and ended up swinging at probably a couple balls and could have gotten on base with a walk.
Came into the game batting .345, the club leader in hits and RBIs. So he's an important cog in this Horns offense. And the 1-2, as that's a good pitch or a good job by Gage to fight off a good K. Johnson pitch. And the count will hold at a ball and two strikes. Yeah, he also does lead the team in strikeouts. So, and here's add one more. That's his second. That one's looking, and you just got to tip your cap to the pitcher there as he broke off a nasty hook, freezing Gage, and that's a strikeout for out number one.
Yeah, probably wishes he's not having the best night at the plate and seeing some pitches that he's just usually we've seen him hit in the past couple of weeks and he's just not having the best night, and some nights those are those type of nights.
That was pitch number 70 unofficially for K. Johnson, as with one away The first pitch to Aragoos is in the dirt and skips all the way to the backstop. Anthony is 1-for-2 on the night. RBI double. Got Seth McVay, who was courtesy running for Easton Malin, across to the pay station for run number one. And then Anthony came around to score run number two of the ball game on the two-out single from Kostelnik, and that's where we sit. Cade, the 1-0 to Anthony, swing and a tapper foul towards that dugout on the third base side.
Yeah, Anthony with a big, big hit to kind of take the lead in this ball game here in the, what was it, the fourth inning that he had that hit? Very, very clutch hit down that left field line.
1-1 in the dirt, no problem for Anthony to lay off. He seems like he's always in the middle of the horns rallies. I mean, granted, it's not going out on a limb when you're in the five hole,
right?
But he just something how the lineup always seems to get to him at a key moment.
Exactly. I've been noticing that a lot recently. It's a lot of things have been revolved around him, and he's done his job well.
And the 2-1 misses, so he's working the count. He comes in batting 286. He's got 16 hits, which is third on the club. Beg your pardon. Is fourth on the club, and he leads the club with 13 walks. Two hopper to Leal's right, and good strong throw. And a ground out to short for out number two here in the sixth.
But, yeah, just to go back to him, it's 13 walks and hitting 286 and right in the middle of the pack with club leads and hits. So anytime you want him up, he's been consistent. It's been consistent all year with those type of numbers.
Absolutely. That'll bring in Martinez, who's had one of the better offensive campaigns so far this year for the Horns as well. And the big right-hander digs in. And the first pitch from Johnson missing low. Folks, you guys didn't hear this, but Tarando came over here in the break and said he's got his eye on that customized A&M fire pit. So you guys, if you want that, you might have to outflank Tom Tarando. It is a live auction. Just keep your eye on Tarando.
And will you be there?
I will absolutely be there.
What are you most looking forward to in this auction?
Well, I told you that Astros package is something that might be of interest. Other than that, I'm not in the market for a Chihuahua.
I was about to ask you that.
1-1 inside and off the plate. Good job by Nick to lay off. Now, we've got four critters in my house already and four
humans. So
don't need
another one.
Yeah. I got eight mouths already to feed. I'm good, bruh. And the a few vittles, yeah. Whataburger and Chick-fil-A were there a lot. 2-2 is going to be a lazy fly ball into right center. And Taylor Say will cruise in and squeeze it for a 3-up, 3-down here in the sixth. We go to the seventh. Folks, it's 8:33, and we're going to the top of the seventh inning right here on GRHSiRadio.com.
Black and red bands, your bare feet covered in sand.
If you're into sports, especially high school sports, then the Fort Bend Herald is for you. The Fort Bend Herald, Fort Bend's oldest newspaper since 1892, covers area high school sports like no other paper around. And for as little as $9 a month, you can have it delivered right to your door 6 days a week. And with every subscription, you have immediate access to the paper's online edition at no extra cost. So if you're into high school sports, the Fort Bend Herald's sports pages are for you. To subscribe, go to fbherald.com. Pay online to activate your subscription. You can also begin receiving the Fort Bend Herald by calling 281-342-4474. That's the Fort Bend Herald, Fort Bend's oldest newspaper since 1892.
Hello, fans. I'm Brett Dolan from Root Sports and ESPN3, and I listen to GRHSI Radio.
And thank you, Brett. We do go to the seventh. It is Malin still on the hill, as his pitch count has been pretty manageable as he goes here into the seventh inning. And we'll try and get you a pitch count.
I would go with probably mid-80s, I believe. I think you mentioned it was like 76 and middle of last inning, so he's and had a pretty an 82.
So both pitchers have done well on the pitch count perspective. As this will be the 83rd pitch of the evening for starting pitcher Easton Malin, and he has a bagel up there in the all-important run column, and that'll bring in three-hitter Mason Say. Catcher walked in the first and struck out in the fourth. He is 0 for 2. First pitch swinging, upstairs gas, and Say comes up empty. And, you know, you wonder, like, Verlander, some pitchers get their most velocity towards the end of their outings. And it may have to do with the fact they realize they're about done, so they're going to kind of air it out at the end of the night.
Yeah, about done, but also we've seen him kind of just progress throughout this game. It's first couple of innings were a little bit struggling, but three, four, five, rest of this game, to be honest with you, he's been flying through and has found a really good rhythm.
3-1 breaking ball is not what you want, and that plunks Mason Say right in the back. That's the second hit batter of the night. And at the first time, that was leading off the second inning. So two leadoff hit by pitches for Malin. We'll see if Coach Cubs is going to take a stroll.
Yeah, it might be. I've seen some guys looking down the bullpen area. So getting some guys probably warming up before the inning, but now want to get them a little bit more hot as I see somebody going down there and telling them. So we'll see that pitch count creep up a little bit for Malin, but a double play, and we've seen multiple double plays tonight, and he get out of these. So, still a double play opportunity.
Yeah, the Ranch Rowdies are sitting right here, but they're not very rowdies. Should we call them the Ranch Subdued, or what should we call them?
I don't know, but we got Mr. Tom Tarando down there to fire him up a little bit.
And throw over pushes courtesy runner back, and I missed the courtesy runner. Did we get a name on the courtesy runner? And they got a guy in a blue shirt as the courtesy runner for catcher Mason Say. That'll bring in designated hitter Graydon Hill. First pitch misses up. Hill comes in 0 for 2. Ground ball double play to end the first. And tapped one back to Malin to end the fourth. He's 0 for 2. And a little bit of speed. Again, courtesy runner at first. I believe it's number 7, but don't quote me.
Yeah, I don't have a number on him.
1-0 the count on Hill. Malin, another throw over. As he wants to keep that runner close, we're hearing a lot of chatter out of that first base dugout as they attempt to rattle the horns of a big right-hander who's been in control all night. And the 1-0 to Hill is in there for a strike. Good pitch. That was an important pitch. You get to 2-0 and all sorts of things can go wrong.
Exactly. Get to 2-0, hitters count, and the other dugout starts chattering a little bit more.
I beg your pardon, hitting for himself is pitcher Kay Johnson. It's not Hill. So Kay Johnson, who was being DH'd for, and now the big right-hander is standing in the batter's box.
Something I don't think we've seen all year.
With a 1-1 count. 1-1 on the way, and again, same pitch, and Kay Johnson didn't like it as he got the outside corner, did Easton. And now he's ahead of his mound opponent, 1-2.
That's pretty interesting. It's getting DH'd for, but then has to come up in a situation in the seventh inning with a runner on first to hit for himself. So I wonder what coach made him decided to do that, flip his decision on that one.
Throw over, runners back, not close, not a big lead, but just trying to make sure that he doesn't stray too far away. Easton kicks the 1-2, swing, tapped her back to Easton, throw down to Jaden at second, and across to Hamburg at first for a 1-6-3 double play, the third double play turned by the Horns tonight, and just like that, two quick outs here in the seventh.
Dan, similar to what happened in the second inning, I believe it was, leadoff guy gets on base from a hit-by-pitch, and then come back or right to Easton and gets the double play, and now you're looking up with two outs here in the top second of the seventh inning.
Identical. Hit by pitch, 1-6-3 double play in the second and the seventh. Tweet that out. Keys to the game. And with two down and the bases empty, and that's Zuniga in there, and that's some chin music from Easton.
And Johnson isn't the fastest runner, so kind of made an easy play for Adams to get get the guy out at first base.
Yeah, I saw your eyes light up when that ball was tapped back to Easton because you knew with Kay Johnson running down the first base line, that was, unless there was a mishandled throw, then that was going to be a fairly easy 1-6-3. Again, the third one of the night for the Horns. And the 2-0's fouled away up out of play over top of that visitor bleacher. 2-1 the count on Zuniga. He was the man hit by the pitch in the second, later erased, and he tapped back to Easton to lead off the fifth. Easton now back from the wine with the bases empty, and the 2-1 to Zuniga is in there for a ball.
See what I did there?
I don't know where that was. Because we've gotten no high calls, and that was in there for a ball again. That's two beautifully thrown pitches, and Easton's like, where is that?
Yeah, get an explanation from the umpire, and you hear Coach Cubs a little bit chattering down there with wanting that strike called. And late in the game, we usually see umpires open up their zones, but for some reason this batter, he decided to close it on us.
And Zuniga, I tell you what, Zuniga is a diminutive fella. He probably goes about 5'6 over there. And so the strike zone is lower on a guy like that. And not getting the call there. First pitch swinging is Jocko. And he fouls it away over top of the Horns dugout and out of play. Quickly 0-1. That's the third free pass issued by Easton. He's allowed just two hits on the night, no runs. He's hit two batters and had a wild pitch. And he's 6 2/3 in. Throw over, Zuniga back. And with the Buccaneers down to an out, we still don't hear anything from the Ranch Rowdies. They're just kind of sitting there socializing. And there's about half as many of them there now as there were to start the ball game. Maybe it's too cold for them.
Maybe they need a shout-out from Mr.
Maybe
Tom Tarando.
Two-out shout-out. 0-2 the count on Jocko. The Buccaneers are down to a strike. Man at first is Zuniga. The 0-2. Soft liner in front of Adams. He'll fielded on a hop, throw over, and that will do it, folks. A two-hit shutout from Easton Malin, and they will move back into the win column with the Horns as they break that two-game district losing streak. And we will take a quick break, and Christian and I will come back and wrap things up from the ranch. Again, the Horns win it 2-0.
Hey, Longhorns, the time is now to order your George Ranch High School yearbooks. Relive every side-splitting, buzzer-beating, and tear-jerking moment for the rest of your lives. Don't y'all all be left in the pasture while all your friends are getting their yearbook signed by all of Longhorn Nation. Hee-haw! Order your yearbooks today. It's your legacy.
The Fort Bend Gridiron Football League is beginning its seventh year as a competitive youth football league that stresses a positive, safe, and fun environment for players, parents, and coaches. Fort Bend Gridiron Football is partnered with USA Football, a youth football development arm of the NFL and NFLPA, and features six competitive zones based on the same school boundaries as Austin, Clements, Foster, George Ranch, Lamar Consolidated, and Ridge Point High Schools. There is freshman football for 7- and 8-year-olds, JV for 9- and 10-year-olds, and varsity play for 11- and 12-year-olds who are not yet in the 7th grade. For more information, go to the league's website at FortBendGridironFootball.com.
And welcome back in, folks. GRHSI Radio, Chris Elliott and Christian Moore here to wrap things up. Once again, your final, the Horns win it 2-0. Your final total board, Brazoswood, no runs on two hits. They had an error. They stranded two runners. George Ranch with two runs on six hits, no errors. They did strand four. Malin, a complete game, two hits, shutout. And he struck out three, allowed, again, just the two hits. He walked three, losing pitcher Kay Johnson, he pitched well, and I mean, yeah. He certainly didn't pitch poorly by any standard, but he does take the tough luck loss. The Horns get back in the win column, and they are now in district. The Horns are 6-2 and 12-7-1 overall. Christian, what were your keys to the ball game tonight?
Just really good pitching from Malin, and kind of what we wanted to see out of him is get ahead of batters, and really the first couple of innings weren't the case for him. We got out of the innings, but really found a good rhythm late in that game and settled in a lot. And offensively, really things didn't really get started until the fourth inning when big hit from Araguz and Kostelnik to open up a 2-0 lead, and just that was about it. And situational hitting, which we hadn't seen in the couple of losses in the back-to-back games, but really hard stretch from going from on the road to Dawson to on the road to Strake and then at home to Pearland and then at home to Brazoswood. So a tough four-game stretch, but now you get Hastings next, so you can get yourself back rolling again in district.
Hey, you stole my thunder Tuesday at Hastings. That'll be a road game. That'll be Tarando and Christian Moore, as my contract does not require I travel outside of the district area. I'm kidding. I'll definitely do road games down the road. So we'll leave it right there, folks. Once again, your final, George Ranch wins it 2-0. Again, Tuesday right here at Hastings on GRHSI Radio. For Christian Moore, Tom Tarando, and the rest of the GRHSI Radio crew, it's Chris Elliott reminding you it's not goodbye. It's see you later. Good night, everybody.